369. As we stand. First, third, and fourth.
Oh, think of a home over there by the river, a river of life, where the saints of immortal and fair are robed in the garments of white. Over there, over there. Over there, over there, over there, oh, think of a home over there. My Savior is now over there. Thou art kindred and friends are at rest. Then away from my sorrow and care, let me fly to a land of bliss. Over there, over there, my Savior is now over there, over there, over there, over there, my Savior is now over there. I'll soon be at home over there, for the end of my journey I see. Many dear to my heart over there are watching and waiting for me. Over there, over there, I'll soon be at home over there, over there, over there, over there, I'll soon be at home over there.
I have a message on my heart that I wanted to bring before you this evening. But before I read any scripture, I want to take just a moment and express my thankfulness for all of my brothers and sisters that are here tonight that have tread the way before me. I was taught when I was growing up to love them and respect them, and I want to just express my thankfulness for all of you, of my Christian brothers and sisters that are older than me and that have seen more than me in this life, and I'm thankful for the things that you have stood for and the things that you have maintained. And I mean that comes from the heart. And I mean that very, very sincerely. And I remember some time ago in Indianapolis talking to a younger Christian, and he was, I guess, somewhat not angry or anything, but maybe a little bit put out might be the best way to say it. And he was talking about some older Christians, and he was talking about things that he thought ought to be done that weren't getting done. And I talked to him, and I said, let me tell you something. We wouldn't have what we have today if it had not been for those that went before us and kept it and maintained it. And I believe that we ought to always, as I said, love and respect those who have fought the battle. And so I wanted to say that tonight. Life is short. The Lord is coming. And we need to take advantage of the time that we have to give flowers when they need to be given. So I wanted to say those few things before I read. From the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning with verse 1, I want to read down through verse 6, and then I want to skip down and pick up with verse 12 and read a few verses from there. So beginning with Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now look down at verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And I want to stop reading there with those verses and take one verse from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Stand ye in the ways and ask for the old paths. And the title of my thought tonight will be Tried and True. I've thought about this all afternoon, and it just amazes me to watch the Lord at work. When I came here this evening, I had no thought of this at all, had no idea at all that this would happen. But when I got here before service, Brother Carlock and I got into a conversation, and it started with, we were talking about the passing of Brother Hester. And Brother Carlock, I asked him some questions, and he began to tell me about things through the years with Mount Lebanon Church and changes that they had gone through, and when they had built their original building and then taken it down and built another building, and gave me some history on the church out there at Mount Lebanon. And then when Brother Strode led the singing this evening, the first song that he led was "I'd Rather Be an Old-Time Christian." And I thought that's right in line with the thoughts that the Lord has placed upon my heart. And we are living in a world of automation. We are living in a world of where things are rapidly advancing. Things change all the time. I don't know what it would be like in our day to be a manufacturer of anything, because it seems that with most things, as soon as you get something built and get it on the market, within just a short time, it's obsolete. Somebody has come up with a new plan. I was thinking about, as we were trying to get ready for the winter Bible study, I had spoken with Brother Moran about the things that needed to be ordered as far as the tapes and stuff, and he was telling me that last year that there were very few people that were even interested in the cassette tapes anymore, because things have changed. Most people now are using the CDs or the MP3s and the cassette tapes, although they're really not that many years old, but yet they're becoming an obsolete way of tracking music or preaching or whatever. Probably none of you have an 8-track player in your car anymore, do you? I mean, those have been gone for a while. They came and they served their purpose and they lasted for a while, but then we changed. We advanced. And I thought this afternoon, and I gave a lot of thought to how that I could come to the church here and I could talk to many of you that are here tonight. And I know that it would be extremely interesting to me. I could sit and talk with you, and you could tell me about many changes that have taken place in your lifetime. I mean, some of you here tonight have lived long enough that you have really seen some changes, really have seen a lot of things change drastically in the way that we live even our everyday lives. And there are a few things that I have seen, and I would imagine that for the most part, that if I were to take a survey of it and send out a questionnaire, I would imagine for the most part that there would be many of the changes that you have seen that you were glad they came along and probably would not want to go back to many of the ways that things were before. I think that most people are fairly well content and happy to be able to live in a house where they have running water inside of the house. The modern facilities that we have in our houses today that people did not used to have. And I know that when we grow up without something and we're accustomed to something, that perhaps we don't think about it because that's all that we know. But then later on, somebody comes along and they find a way to put cool air into our house in the summer heat to help the inside of the house be more comfortable. And man is always advancing and making changes, I guess, is the point that I want to make. And many of those things we enjoy and we appreciate. And I know that when I grew up, I didn't know, when I was a child, I had no idea what a microwave oven was. If you wanted to warm something, you took the time and you warmed it in the oven or you warmed it on the stove, and we didn't have that box that you stuck something in and warmed it up in 30 seconds. But you know what? I kind of like my microwave. I like to be able to maybe take a cup of water or something and put it in there and warm it in 60 seconds. And so there are things that we, changes that we have seen that we enjoy. And man will continue, I'm convinced of this, that man will continue to bring things, bring new things in as long as we stay here on the earth. Man will just continue to advance and advance in technology and inventing things. But there are things that have been tried and found true that ought to just be left just like they are. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, and that's what I am very thankful for, that there are things that God set in motion that have not been changed. And sometimes things that are old are better. And sometimes, and especially when God makes something, when God designs something, when God makes the mold and designs something, you can't make what God has done any better, because He does things right when He does it. And we can't perfect upon the things that God does. But we do need to uphold them and maintain them. And I wanted to say tonight, if I don't get anything else across, I suppose that my greatest burden tonight in this message was to express the thankfulness that I have for the mode of worship that has been maintained for many, many years now. There are things that I know that have changed. You can go back to a time in history and you can find a time when the Baptist churches, for a period of time, they did not have singing in their services. There have been things like that through the years that have changed. There have been traditional practice that have changed. But I'll tell you what I believe, and I really am convinced of this based upon what I read in the scriptures, what I read in history, and what I see in our present day, and combining all those things together, I am convinced that there was a foundation that was laid long ago. There was a way of worship that was laid long ago that has not changed to this very day. Now, I thought about our service a week ago and how that the Lord just moved among us so mightily. And even beginning with Sunday school, and if people would have come in that did not understand, and I don't know, perhaps there were some here, I'm not really sure, but if people would have come in and they would have seen that, and they would have seen Brother Wheat standing up here, trying to get the Sunday school lesson started, and then somebody begins to shout the praises of God, and that subsides a little bit, and then Brother Wheat begins again, and somebody stands up, and they interrupt him and begin to testify about the things of the Lord, and how that Brother Wheat just so, calmly gave way to them. Folks, that's the Spirit of the Lord. And if somebody would have witnessed that perhaps was not accustomed to it, they may have made the same assessment that these people made at the day of Pentecost. They may have said there's something wrong with those people. They must be, filled with new wine. They must be on something. And they're just not acting right. They're just not acting rational. But I believe that we can see in what happened here at Pentecost that, and I understand that this was a direct fulfillment of Joel's prophecy some 800 plus years before this actually took place. If you go back into the second chapter of Joel, you'll find that he prophesied of this very day. But you look at what essentially happened on the day of Pentecost, and what was it? The Lord moved upon his people with the Holy Spirit power. That's essentially what took place. I don't know exactly what they had in mind when they, just prior to that, they had come together there in the upper room, 120 of them, and they had united their hearts in prayer, and they were waiting for God to send the promise of the Comforter, to the promise of that power, that extraordinary power that he had promised them. They were in one mind and one accord, and they were assembled together, and they were praying, and they were waiting for that. And I'm not sure what they were anticipating exactly or how they felt that it would come, but I believe that they knew that God would make good on his promise. And as they were there, as they assembled there on the day of Pentecost, the power from heaven fell upon them. Folks, I want to tell you something today. I'm thankful that our churches have maintained that. I'm thankful that we have maintained the spiritual mentality that we are willing to give way to the Spirit of the Lord and to allow God to move freely among us. And if anything, if there's anything, any change at all in that, it's in us that oftentimes we just don't pray enough. Oftentimes we just don't get close enough to the Lord. When we come to the house of God, we ought to desire that great power from heaven to fall upon us. Every time that we assemble here, we ought to desire that great, extraordinary, unusual power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon us and enable us to conduct ourselves in a way that God will be honored. I'm thankful for the old paths. And I know that they go back much further than this, but I want you to stop with me here for a moment and consider this, if you will. I have told people before that many of the old treasured hymns that we still sing today in our churches, I heard them sing when I was just a little bitty boy. They have come to mean something to us. And I'm not saying that there are not other songs that have been written since then that we can't sing. There are many good songs that have been written since that time that honor the Lord, and we could sing them. But you see, there are things that we have held on to throughout the years. I'm convinced that in most of our old-time Baptist churches today, that we still love to sing about the amazing grace of God. We still like those songs. We love to sing them. There are things that I witness in our churches. You know, I can remember, well, as far back as I can remember, being in church when I was just a little bitty boy, it was nothing unusual to me to hear people get happy in the Lord and just lose their dignity right there in the service and begin to shout and begin to praise the Lord. I've seen people heave a songbook all the way across the room. And I'm not talking about something theatrical. I'm talking about people just losing themselves in the Lord. just get happy, and the next thing you know, their hands go up, and there goes the songbook, and the Spirit overtakes them as we give way to God, and the Spirit moves them, has moved them, just like He moved these people there on the day of Pentecost. And the people said, well, these men, surely they must be drunken. But they weren't, were they? Well, they were intoxicated, but not with alcohol. They were intoxicated in the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, I can remember those times when I was a boy of seeing those things happen in our services. And I remember I could sit down and talk to my mother. I could sit down and talk with my grandmother. I could sit down and talk with my grandfather, who was born, I believe, about 1905. I sat down and spoke with him, and they told me about the same things happening in the old time churches when they were children. And I'm convinced that they had seen those things, had heard those things from their parents and their grandparents. And I believe that we are part of something, of a mode of worship that has continued from the very time that the church was established. And when it was empowered here on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God has moved among His churches, and He has oftentimes, you know, He has just poured His power out upon His people and directed the service and took charge of the service. And I hope and I pray that we never leave behind giving way to God. I believe the Lord ought to be in charge of every service. The preacher may assume his duties in conducting the service. Or there may be things during the service that the deacons may need to do, or somebody else may need to do. But I'll say this, that no matter what, we ought to always yield right away to the Holy Spirit of God and give Him control. And I hope and I pray that we never leave that behind. That would be a change that would be detrimental to the cause of the Lord. Jesus Well, let me say this. The Bible teaches me that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. And we don't need any other foundation. And I'm convinced that Jesus gave His church everything that she needed to function. I don't believe He left the church void of anything. He gave us the Spirit of power. He gave us the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that's what the Lord gave us. He gave us the rule book, the only one that we need. He gave us the answers to everything that might come against the church in the Holy Scriptures. Friends, listen, I am convinced that the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone will supply the church with the answer to every question that we could ever have if we're willing to look for it and search for it. I don't believe the Lord left us void of anything. He gave us the Scriptures. He gave us His power. Some people through the years weren't content with that. They became discontent. You know what? There were times times of spiritual drought that they became discontent, that you know, they weren't seeing enough people saved, perhaps. Things were not moving at a pace they wanted to see. You know, I'll tell you what, one of the worst things we could ever do is get impatient to the point where we try to get ahead of God. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. The Lord left us here to preach the word, and I believe in the power of the gospel. I believe that the old time gospel still works today in the hearts of people. Listen, the word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And it was that when that was penned down in the Hebrew letter, and it's still that today. The gospel truth still has the same power that it's always had. God, or Paul rather, said, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And those that have remained true to the Lord throughout the years have preached the gospel and gave way to God to do the saving. And I just can't tell you how thrilled and how thankful and happy that I am that there are still people in our land today that will do that. Many became discontent. Somebody came along with a new way. Somebody came along with a new method that wasn't a true method at all. It wasn't tried. It wasn't true. It was just something that was invented by men, and they came along and they began to infiltrate churches, and they began to say, you know, all of this kneeling and weeping and mourning and sobbing and waiting until these people know that they're saved is ridiculous. It's not necessary. All they need to do is just simply believe what Christ did and accept his finished work at Calvary, and they'll be saved. And listen, sadly enough, many people that had been sound gave in to that type of stuff. And there were many churches that were ruined by latching on to that belief. Listen, the Lord gave us the only gospel long ago that we're ever going to need. And it's perfect. It doesn't need any changes. It just needs to be preached. And I am so grateful. I mean, you stop and think about it. I mean, just really stop and think about it, because we have been tried. We have been tried. The forces of evil have come against us. You know, you may leave the truth behind. And you may build an assembly of 25,000 people, but if they're not on the foundation of Christ and the apostles, they're not doing anybody any good, are they? Not doing anybody any good. Ask for the old paths. We've not been left here to give anybody anything new, have we? We've been left here to just preach that which has been tried and found true. Amen. Jude wrote that we should earnestly contend for the faith. That was what? That was once, one time. We should contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Friends, listen. There have been times, and we have read about one of them here on the day of Pentecost, where these people, they preached the gospel and it worked. There have been many times throughout the history of the church that the church preached the gospel to people and it worked, and it'll still work today. Still will work today. And so I'm very moved and grateful for those that have held to the truth. The older I get, it seems the more thankful I become that I had the privilege of hearing these things as far back as I can remember. I've still, in my mind today, I've still got a vivid picture of some of those that stood before me when I was just a young boy and just hammered the gospel to me. I mean, just hammered out the truth without fear, without favor. You know, I mean, they knew that, no doubt many times it was obvious to them that they were, that it was bothering me. And I think the more they saw that, the more they hammered down on it. Listen, friends, you know, I know that the truth, it cuts into people's hearts. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the Word of God will cut your heart, and thank God that it will. You've got to be made to feel bad before you're going to feel good. You've got to be convicted of your sins before you're going to be forgiven of your sins. You're going to have to see yourself for the sinner that you are before you'll ever truly turn to the Lord and seek Him for salvation. And I can remember many and still have a vivid remembrance of them in my mind just hammering the gospel to me when I was lost and in my sins. It worked for me, for my children. It'll work for my grandchildren, however long God allows time to go on. God gave us something that's been put to the test, and it's been found true, and it's been found effective, and it doesn't need any changing at all. Today there's a translation, good news for modern man. You know what the good news for modern man is? The old news that's been preached all down through the years. That's what the good news is for modern man. That's what the good news was for people that lived before us. That's what the good news is for us today. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, listen, if we or anybody else or an angel from heaven come to you preaching any other gospel, don't receive it. Don't receive it. Why? Because there's only one true method. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, and God instilled in His church and left with His church the gospel. And today, as it always has been, if you're ever going to make heaven your home, you must be born again. You must be born again. Without that spiritual experience between you and the Lord, where you know that you have come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of your sins, you're going to find yourself standing before Him one day, and you're not going to be justified in the eyes of the Lord. You must be born again. Jesus preached it. The apostles preached it. His church took it up and has preached it now for 2,000 years. And it's still the truth today. So, no matter what comes against us, no matter how that we're challenged, all that we need to do is just seek and ask for the old paths and walk in them. Walk in them. I've told the church before, I've got a a great-great grandfather that preached the gospel, and things that I've read, things that I've been told, he preached the same truth then that's still being preached today. It's been tried and tested and found true, and it will certainly set people free. The truth will liberate people's souls. Falsehoods, deceptions may tickle people's ears and gather large crowds, but it won't set their souls free. And I'm thankful tonight for what we have. I'm thankful to God tonight for what we have. And I want to encourage the church. I want to thank the church for having maintained it all these years, and encourage the church to continue to just maintain the truth of the gospel until the Lord comes and takes us home to be with Him. God bless you all. That's my message. I'd like for us to have a song and a Christian handshake tonight. I appreciate your attention today, this morning, and this evening as well. I appreciate your prayers, and may God bless you all. God bless His truth.
Did he say 252?
Number 252. 252. Long ago, when but a boy at old camp meeting time, how my heart would leap for joy to hear the old bells chime, calling all the saints of God into the house of prayer. Oh, such praying, singing, shouting, for the Lord was there. I like the old time. Shouting, I like the old time, reading of God's word. I like to hear those glory. I like the old time, worship of the Lord. I remember, Father dear, in that old-fashioned day, how His voice would rise and swell when He began to pray. Higher, higher it would rise until I seemed to feel God would save us, everyone, from this eternal hell. I like the old time. Shouting, I like the old time. Reading of God's word. I like to hear those. Time, hallelujah, glory. I like the old time worship of the Lord. Preachers in those good old days were filled with holy fame, preaching for the souls of men and not for worldly fame. Under such old-fashioned preaching, sinners failed to pray, and the Lord would save them in the good old-fashioned way. I like the old-time preaching, praying, singing, shouting. I like the old-time reading of God's word. I like to hear those old-time hallelujah glory. I like the old-time worship. In these later days, they say there is no use to pray. All we need, thank religion, tis a better way. But I'm glad to tell you, brother, Jesus saves from sin. In the old-time way, He saves me now, He dwells within. I like the old-time preaching, praying, singing, shouting. I like the old-time reading of God's word.
I like to hear those old-time hallelujah glory. I like the old-time worship of the Lord. Let's do a verse or two, a number three in this book. Number three. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand up. Held by my righteous, unimpotent hand. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul through all hell should endeavor to shake. I'll never forsake.
Amen.
Like to read you just one verse of scripture quickly here from the third chapter of Revelation, verse 9. What the Lord Jesus Christ said to the church there in Philadelphia when he wrote to the seven churches of Asia Minor there. Revelation 3, verse 9, he says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." And the Lord loves his church. He loves his church. Been a good day. Thankful to have another day to be together with all of you. Remember prayer meeting Wednesday evening. Again, remember Brother Lowe in your prayers as he conducts our prayer service. And we have.
Services.
bless you, Sister Treva. Appreciate that. Bless you, Brother Lowe. Appreciate that. Anyone else?
God bless you, Brother Wheat. Appreciate that.